Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this hour. Thank you, Lord, for this moment. Thank you for the teaching of your word. Thank you for the word that transforms life and the word that recreates us. We're asking, O Lord, the very image of Christ will come in everybody's life in Jesus' name. Take hold of your people. Cleanse your people. Transform your people and make us like you want us to be. And you confirm your word in every life. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless you. You can sit down. I pray the Lord will do more in your life, in my life, in our lives together. In Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 6. We're reading from verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I thought I'll hear a good amen. As you look at the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, and he said we should pray after this pattern, after this model, after this standard prayer, he reminds us of heaven, and he points our heart, he points our focus very much to heaven. He starts by saying, our Father, which art in heaven, will become a family, the family of God. Our children, we're sons and we're daughters of our God who is in heaven. And we're not looking at him now as a judge, only as a creator, only as a mighty one, only as the most high, only as the most powerful. Yes, he is, but now we look at him as our Father. We are the people that he has spoken to. Come out from the midst of them and be ye separate, says the Lord. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord. Our sons and daughters then will refer to God as our Father. And then we'll say he is in heaven. Our mind is always there. Our heart is always there. Our focus is always there. Our destiny is there. And our direction is leading that way. And then we remind ourselves that he has a kingdom. And then he tells us, hallowed be thy name. Honored be thy name. What will honor him? What will glorify him? It is to remember that he has a kingdom. And we're part of that kingdom. And we're submissive to that kingdom. And we're subject to that kingdom. And we're totally given, surrendered, committed, and consecrated to that kingdom. And now, as kingdom citizens, as kingdom subjects, how are we to live? There's a kingdom in heaven. And he has a kingdom here on earth. And it says, thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth. Heaven, thy will be done by the angels. Earth, thy will be done by the saints, by the sons and the daughters. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There he gives us a heavenly pattern for our earthly life. Heavenly pattern for our earthly life. Three things we're going to look at. Number one, the heavenly picture and pattern for his brethren. the heavenly picture and pattern for his brethren. Point number two, the heart's purging and purity with his blood. The heart's purging and purity. That's the purging of the heart and the purity of the heart. The heart's purging and purity with his blood. Point number three, the honest prayer and pursuit of his bride. The honest prayer and pursuit of his bride. Number one, the heavenly picture and the heavenly pattern for his brethren. We come back to that Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 10. Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 10. In verse 10, it tells us, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Anywhere the kingdom of God has come, the evangelical kingdom, you have been evangelized and you have come into the kingdom. Anywhere the kingdom has come, the spiritual kingdom, you have given your soul, your spirit, your heart unto the Lord, and Christ has entered and is reigning as king. Anywhere the kingdom of God has come, the eschatological kingdom, when Christ will come, and now that future kingdom is already established in your heart, and he sits there, he reigns there, he controls there, and he guides and directs everything. That kingdom come. The next thing that will follow, the next thing that will come, is that the will of the Father, the will of the King, will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Who are the people right now doing the will of God in heaven? Psalm 103, Psalm 103 verse 20, Psalm 103 verse 20, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength and do his commandments." That excel in strength. They're never weak. They're never tired. They're never weary. They never faint. They're not feeble. They never complain. They don't lack strength. It says that excel in strength and that do his commandments. You picture then what heaven looks like. You picture what the will of God looks like in heaven. You picture what the Father enjoys, the cooperation of all the angels, the obedience of all the angels, the submission of all the angels, and the surrender of all the angels. And then those angels, promptly, they do the will of God. Consistently, they do the will of God. Without complaint, they do the will of God. Instantaneously, they do the will of God. No question, no doubt, they do the will of God. No evaluation, examination, they do the will of God. It says, "Bless the Lord, his angels that excel in strength and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." They live by his word. They don't have a mind of their own. They don't have an objective of their own. They don't have a program of their own. They don't have any agenda of their own. Just doing the will of God in heaven. And they do that from time to time. There's no carnal comparison between this angel and that other angel. God gave me this assignment. God gave you this assignment. Why me? Why him? They do his commandments. And they do that all through their existence. He sends them to us. They come. They come over here. They go back. They are waiting for another thing he might want to tell them. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 1 verse 4. Be made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. We're not shift from the angels, and we shift to the picture and the pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it's much better, much higher, much greater, much stronger, more precious than the angels, because he now excels much more than the angels in strength, and also in honor, and also in authority, as he has by inheritance inherited, obtained a more excellent name than they. And yet he said, my Father sent me, no objection. My Father sent me, no questioning. My Father sent me, and no reasoning. My Father sent me, and as the Father sent him, he came. He sent him to come and sacrifice for our sins. He came. He sent him to come and bear our punishment. He came. He sent him to come and suffer for us. He came without any question at all. It was his joy to do the will of the Father. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. That's Jesus. That's our Savior. That's our Lord. He said, I come. And I come to do thy will, O God. Look at verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. As he came and did the will of God, we're talking about Jesus, greater than the angels, higher than the angels. He himself is creator. Without him, nothing was made that was made. And he became Savior, shepherd, a substitute, a perfect example. And he came to do the will of his Father. How did he do that? Let's come back to John. John chapter 4. And in this, he has left you and I an example that we should do the will of God here on earth, as it is done in heaven. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus says unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Actually, the story at this time in John chapter 4, he was hungry, he was thirsty, he was weary, and his disciples went to buy food, buy meat, and then they came back and they said, Master, eat. And he said, I have something to eat that you don't know, you don't understand. You were weary before we left, tired before we left, hungry before we left, thirsty before we left. And now, as somebody brought him food, that's then what he said, this is my meat, which I delight in, like you delight in food. This is my meat, which I take to satisfaction, like you take food to satisfaction. This is my meat, which fulfills my inner desire, like food fulfills your inner desire. This is my meat, which I take above all to sustain my life, like meat sustains your life. This is my meat that I eat every day, like you think you have to eat food every day. This is my meat while I'm here on earth, like you have to eat while you are here on earth. My meat is to do. My meat is to do. It's not just to hear. I take pleasure in that. It's not just to be taught. I take pleasure in that. It's not just to read. I understand that. And it is not just to listen. I take pleasure in that. It is to do. My meat is to do. Read and do. Listen and do. Learn and do. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Anything that is not of him that sent me, that will not be food, that will be poison. Anything that is not of him that sent me, that is contrary to the will and to the word of him that sent me, that's something contrary to feeding, to food. That's poison, and I'm not going to take that. I came to do the will of him that sent me. We're coming to Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. Brethren, he calls us brethren because now we have the same mind, the same heart, the same desire, the same will, the same pattern, the same picture. We're in the same family. Now he calls us brethren. And he has given us, he has shown us the heavenly picture, the heavenly pattern. And then for us to be able to do that, he helps us. He cleanses us. He supports us. He grants us grace. He sanctifies us. You will do his will. I will do his will. As an individual, everyone will do his will in Jesus' name. As a family, your family, my family, will do the will of God in Jesus' name. And as a church, we'll do the will of God. And we'll obey him, be subject to him here on earth as it is done in heaven. How is this possible? Point number two. The heart's purging and purity with his blood. He makes this possible by cleansing us from the Adamic nature. He makes this possible by cleansing us from the result of the fall. Man fell. And since man fell, the will of man tries to take preeminence. But then we go to the cross. He forgives our sins. He does more than that. He cleanses and purges us. We're coming to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Hebrews 13, reading from verse 20. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You see that? It's through the blood. It's the blood of Jesus that does it. Don't you ever think, I'll try my best. Wonderful to try your best, but your best cannot do the will of God permanently, perfectly, always, every time, without deviation. You need help. I need help. We need help from heaven. And thank God, the blood of the everlasting covenant gives us adequate help, sufficient help. You'll do the will of God. You know what he does? First of all, he buys us back. He redeems us. He gets us out of the slave market. And he says, you're mine. You're mine. I want to return you to the original creation. Look at what he does. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. That blood is shed for you on the cross of Calvary. is to redeem you. We sold ourselves to the hands of the devil, and so the devil owned us. And now Christ came with the greatest prize from heaven, and he died for us. He bore our punishment. He shed his blood so he can redeem us and buy us back. And now he says we're part of that church, purchased with his blood. My good behavior has been much more extensive, but than my bad behavior, only one crime. That one crime will send you to prison. And so, one sin is enough to damn the soul. And Jesus knew that, and he loves you. And he pities your condition. And because of that, he knew the only thing that can save you is not your good work. It's not your religious work. It is the blood of the Lamb. Please permit my language. Somebody has fallen into dirt, has fallen into a flood, and the dirt of the flood is all over his body. And he says, but I must hurry up. I need to go and worship the King. I need to go and pay homage to the King with all the dirt, all the defilement, all the abominations all over him. That kind of homage is not acceptable. The servants of the King will carry you away from there because of the way you appear before the King. But when you come before the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, you can appear dirty in the sight of Jesus. He'll cleanse you. But you cannot appear dirty in the sight of the Almighty God. He will reject you. You go to Christ, and the blood of Jesus pardons you, purchases you, purges you, and things are new now. It is when you are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, you can now offer acceptable service unto the Lord, because he purges you from dead works to serve the living God. Hebrews chapter 10, reading from verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, look at this, by the blood of Jesus, not by my good works, not by my philanthropic works, not by my knowledge, not by my religion, not by my church name, by the blood of Jesus. We have boldness to enter into the holiest. It says in verse 20, by new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. In full assurance of faith, knowing he will not reject anyone. He will not reject you. I said he will not reject you. No matter how bad things have been, no matter how dirty or defiled things have been. That's why he died. That's why he came. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. Not with the teaching. Teaching is good. You know, when the teaching comes to you, you say, yes, now I see. Yes, now I understand. It's like if we are called together here, we have not taken our bath today. And then the lecturer came to tell us about water, about washing, about cleansing, about hygiene, and about how to revitalize us and refresh us. And we learn only about that. Learning about water is good, but you never wash with the water. Learning about water is good, but you never drink the water. You can have the highest knowledge about water, about what it does. It will clean your clothes. It will wash your body. It will refresh your life. If you never go to take the water, then the water will be of no use to you. The same thing, the water of the world. The same thing, the blood of the Lamb. We can listen to teaching and preaching and exhortation and theological advice, and we learn and learn and learn without going to the cross and without being washed in the blood. It will mean nothing. And thank God, you will wash in the blood of the Lamb. You'll be cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, and you will be clean. Brother, sister, I said you will be clean. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood suffered without the gate. Now that we know that, verse 13, let us go forth therefore. Now that we know, let's make use of that blood. Let's believe in that blood. Let's get to Calvary. Let's get to Christ and let the blood cleanse us. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Why? Because for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. It is when the blood cleanses us, purges us, purifies us, we'll be ready for those mansions on high. First Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but, look at this, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. There is heaven. God has gone to prepare a place for you in heaven. If you know that, let me hear your amen. And yet, to be fit for that heaven, we must be washed in the blood. And think about this. A number of people, multitudes, have come to the cross. They have washed in that blood. They are cleansed by that blood. They are saved by that blood. They are sanctified by that blood. If you're still waiting behind, what are you waiting for? Why don't you say, I'm going to get to that heaven. And the only way to get to that heaven is to go through the blood. You will be there. Washed in the blood. Cleansed in the blood. He will cleanse you. He will wash you. He will purge you in the blood of the Lamb in Jesus' name. Point number 3, the honest prayer and pursuit of his bride. The honest prayer and pursuit of his bride. You see, we're the bride of Christ, the bride of the Lamb. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It says in verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. That's how it makes us the bride. The bride. Let's see from Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Reading from verse 7. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife is bride, has made herself ready, and to her was given that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. You see that? Clean and white. Our character, our conduct, our spirit, our heart, totally transformed, washed, and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. Clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Ephesians chapter 5, the bride of Christ, the bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 25. In verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, that he might present you to himself, that he might present us to himself. What kind of church? I say, what kind of church? A glorious church, not having spot. Every spot will be taken away from your life. Or wrinkle, all the wrinkle, the marks of the old man will be taken away from your life. Or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Do you know you can be without blemish? I said, do you know you can be without blemish? The grace of God will do it. The blood of Jesus will cleanse you. And everything that needs to be scrubbed, cleansed, taken out of your heart, out of your life, it will be done in Jesus' name. And then you will do the will of God here on earth as it is done in heaven. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, reading from verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me. Here is a prayer. Purge me. Here is the desire. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. You need to ask God. You need to tell God yourself. The blood of Jesus has been shed, and that blood of Jesus is sufficient. And he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be white, whiter than snow. He'll make you white as snow. That's salvation. He'll make you whiter than snow. That's a step further. That's a deeper experience that the Lord will grant unto you, to me, and to every one of us in Jesus' name. And then he says, make me to know, this prayer, make me to know the joy and the gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. This is prayer. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out, how many iniquities? All my iniquities. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. He will do it. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He will answer your prayer. I said he will answer your prayer. He'll get you ready for heaven. And I pray, nothing that needs to be done for you to be ready, nothing that needs to be done will be left undone in Jesus' name. We're coming to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, and I'm reading from verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And then he goes on to say, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. You will see the King. The Lord of hosts then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it on my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Thy sin purged. Thy sin purged. Purified, he will do it. Purged, he will do it. Sanctified, he will do it. He'll make you pure, he'll make me pure. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How will that happen? By the cleansing, by the purging of the blood of the Lamb. In chapter 6, chapter 6, verse 33, Matthew 6, 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Pray for it. Desire it. Get back to the cross. The blood of Jesus has been shed for you. Let it by faith be sprinkled upon your heart, and then that righteousness of the kingdom will be yours in Jesus' name. And all other things shall be added unto you. Did you hear that? Yeah. Chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, it shall be given you. The purging, it will be given to you today. The cleansing will be given to you today. It's not by effort. It's not by your personal effort. It's not by, I will try, I will try. Not by trying, by trusting. Trust him, trust him. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. How many people will God answer today? I said, how many people will God answer today? Look at verse 8. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. The door of holiness will be opened unto you. The door of sanctification will be opened unto you. Purging, purification will be opened to us in Jesus' name. James chapter 4, reading from verse 2. James chapter 4, reading from verse 2. It says, he lost and have not, he killed and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye have not, because ye ask not. Cleansing, purging, purification, purity, holiness, clean heart, pure heart, readiness for heaven. If you ask, you will receive. Because it says, ye have not because ye ask not. But thank God, we're going to ask today. And thank God, we're going to receive. It'll get us ready. It's preparing heaven for you. And he wants to prepare you for heaven. Preparing heaven for you. And he wants to prepare you for heaven. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm reading from verse 1. John 14, verse 1. It says, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for, put your name there, put your name, just don't just say me. I go to prepare a place for, put your name there, put your name there. I go to prepare a place for, and if I go and prepare a place for, I will come again and receive, tell me, for unto myself, so that where I am, ye may be also. You'll be there. I said you'll be there. Heaven will not be complete without you. You have a name there. You have a vacancy there. You have a place there. And yet to be there, you must be holy. You must be pure. But it's not by trying, not by making effort. It is by just coming to Christ and say, Lord, thank you. You went to prepare a place for me. Prepare me now. Cleanse me. Purge me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Wash me with your blood. Do it for me now, that I may do the will of God here on earth as it is done in heaven. I see your face there. It will answer your prayer. I rejoice with you. It will answer your prayer. Where are you there? Why don't you rise up and tell the Lord, this is the time for him to answer your prayer. The blood of Jesus cleanses and washes whiter than snow. The blood of Jesus will purify you and make you as holy as you ought to be, ready for heaven.